All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton with you, standing in the confessional corner this week as we begin to look at the creeds. This week at the Apostles' Creed, the oldest of the creeds, the granddaddy of them all, the one upon which all the rest of them have their start. This is a simple one. It is in the catechism. We will look at it again as we go through the catechisms. But here we have it just simply as it reads. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, there is the text of the Apostles' Creed. And it is simply, strictly, straightforward. What is it that you absolutely have to believe in order to call yourself a Christian? Well, let's start from the top. I believe in God. We have to believe that there is a God, but the creed helps us define who is this God. He is the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So everything we have, everything we see, has its source in Him. He is the one who created everything around us. He is the one who created us. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Jesus is the Son of God, but He is also our Lord. He is the one that we are responsible to in this life. He is the one that we are accountable to for our actions ultimately, because we'll see it at the end of the second article, that from thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. He is the one who is the judge of heaven and earth. But before we get there, we could have a whole lot of historical content in here, but we have, as I said, the bare minimum, the bare basics of what is needed for faith and to uphold the Christian faith. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. This is what we call the state of humiliation. This is the time where He does not use His divine power as the Son of God. These are all things that happen to Him and that He does as a human. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the one true immaculate conception. He was born of the Virgin Mary, therefore continuing the immaculate conception idea. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and buried. All of these things happened to Him. Then we flip to His state of exaltation, the things He does because He is God. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. Not one of us, regardless of all the heroes of the Greek and Roman mythologies, not a single human can descend into hell and live to tell about it. It just cannot happen as a human. The third day He rose again from the dead. Here it is again. You cannot raise yourself if you're dead. That's not humanly possible. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Not one of us, regardless of how much we try, however we try to jump and climb our way into heaven, we're not going to do it. It didn't happen with the Tower of Babel. It doesn't happen today with all the things that we could use to try that. It simply does not work. We cannot ascend into heaven by ourselves. And then, of course, at the end, He will come to judge the living and the dead. This is what He does as God. He also does it as man so that He can say, no, I understand. I understand your situation. I am one of you. But I have still always had this law for you to keep. I have always had this promise of the gospel of salvation for you, which is where we go in the third article of the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. People ask, what does the Holy Spirit do? We don't get a solid picture of what he does in the scriptures. Why? Because he doesn't draw attention to himself. He is like the camera operator operating the spotlight and the camera upon where the action actually is. And that is on Christ, but also on the Holy Christian Church, on the communion of saints, on the forgiveness of sins, on the resurrection of the body, on the life everlasting. This is where we find our peace. This is where we find our comfort in this life. This is where we find the strength to carry on. This is the basis of our wrestling with theology, is that we are trying to figure all this out. We are trying to come to a better understanding of all these things that the scripture has to tell us. And even in the Apostles' Creed, the most basic of the creeds, we still have that problem, is that even in all of this, it boggles our mind. The virgin conception, the virgin birth, Jesus dying for us, rising from the dead, the descent into hell, the ascension into heaven, and him coming back to judge us. All these things we can only have because of the Holy Spirit, granting us faith through the church, the communion of saints. All of these things are gifts to us that God gives us. And this is what we believe in. This is what we hold on to as Christians, is that yes, we have the church here. Yes, it is the communion of saints. It is also a communion of sinners who continually fall, which is why the very next line of the creed is the forgiveness of sins. Because we see in the church where we have the greatest issues with sin. Because there it is that it is called out in the preaching and in the reading of the word, in the study of the scriptures. There sin is called out. But also forgiveness is applied. And then ultimately, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting when we are judged by Jesus and judged to be righteous, not because of ourselves, but because of what he has done for us. All right, that is a quick look at the Apostles' Creed. We will look at it more closely when we get to both the small and the large catechisms in a few months. But until then, this is Pastor Dugman, thanking you for standing in the confessional corner with me, looking at the Apostles' Creed this week, and I pray that it helps to bolster you, to equip you, to wrestle with the theology around you today and always. Amen.